The Flower of Mankind, a talk given by Venerable Dr. K. Sri Damananda Nayaka Thera at the University of Malaya.
This is the blossom on our human tree, which opens in many a myriad years, but open fills the world with wisdom, scent, and love dropped honey. This poem was written by a well-known Western Buddhist scholar and poet, Sir Edwin Arnold, in his book Light of Asia. In this poetic language, he uses the imagery of a tree. The whole world of mankind is a tree, and the Buddha is the flower of that tree. Again he says, this flower blooms only in a myriad years, which means we had to wait an immense period of time to see this flower. But once it blooms, its scent or the fragrance, wisdom, permeates the whole world. The honey drop contained in this flower is love or compassion. In the Dhammapada, it is said, as a flower that is loved, beautiful and scent-laden, even so, fruitful is the well-spoken word of one who practices it. The most significant characteristic in the Buddha is this wisdom and compassion. There are various misinterpretations regarding the appearance of the Buddha in this world. Some people believe that the Buddha is an incarnation of a god or sent by a god as a messenger. Some others believe that the Buddha learned everything he knew from the existing Indian religions and philosophy, and he only refined them and introduced the old thought as a new doctrine. All these beliefs are not true. It is true that the Buddha studied all the existing systems of philosophical thought under the best teachers, but he found that none of these could give him the answer he looked for. So, he rejected them and sought the truth by himself. When we read the life of the Buddha and his previous birth stories known as Jataka stories, we can understand how he had to cultivate himself in order to gain his enlightenment. He introduced himself as the Buddha after gaining enlightenment. Before that, he was known as a Bodhisattva. The following verses uttered by the Buddha explain the real nature of Buddha. I have realized everything here in this universe. I have cultivated all the great virtues in this world. I have eradicated all evil thoughts and practices. By fulfilling all these qualities, I have gained enlightenment. Therefore, I am the Buddha. The Buddha gave this interpretation to a person who asked whether he was a god. In fact, soon after the Buddha had gained his enlightenment, he decided to preach his Dhamma to his 5 companions who had left him early. On his way, an ascetic saw him. This man was so impressed by his appearance that he asked him who the Buddha's teacher was. The Buddha replied, "All have I overcome, also I know. From all am I detached, all have I renounced. Wholly absorbed am I in the destructions of craving. Having comprehended all by myself, whom shall I call my teacher?" Many people cannot understand who the Buddha actually is. Because of his attitude, appearance, serene personality, nature of understanding and wisdom, his rational and liberal views, when they compare him with other religious teachers, they find that his views are entirely different from anything that anyone else had taught. Therefore, they cannot believe that he is an ordinary human being. That is why people ask whether he is an extraordinary supernatural being or a prophet or messenger of any god. To clarify their doubt, he had to tell them who a Buddha really is. He never mentioned that he was sent as a messenger of any god, nor did he say that he heard any divine voice which whispered into his ear and revealed certain commandments to introduce as religion. Instead, he said, "I have never had any teacher to teach me how to gain this enlightenment. On my own, I endeavored to find whether there is anybody who could enlighten me, but could not find such a person. So I used my own effort, knowledge and understanding to gain this enlightenment. The Buddhahood is the result of my own effort. As a result, he is recognized by well-known poets, scholars, philosophers, historians, scientists, psychologists, freethinkers, rationalists, and even by agnostics as an enlightened, liberal-minded religious teacher." In poetic language, Sir Edwin Arnold called him the flower of mankind. When you refer to various scientists and read what they have written about the Buddha and how they appreciate the great compassion and wisdom, the services he rendered towards mankind, and his rational interpretations of ultimate truth, you can understand why the definition given by the Buddha about the human mind appeals to intellectuals. For example, a renowned scientist, Albert Einstein, says, "In time to come, according to the scientific education given in the modern world, if any religion is needed, it must be Buddhism." A well-known historian, H.G. Wells, appreciates the Buddha in his history book. "You see clearly a man, simple, devout, lonely, battling for life, a vivid human personality, not a myth, beneath a mass of miraculous fable. I feel that there also was a man. He too gave a message to mankind, universal in its character. Many of our best modern ideas are in closer harmony with it. Before a man can become serene, he must ceased to live for his sense of himself. Even an agnostic like Bertrand Russell, who condemned religion in general, says, "Amongst the founders of all religions in this world, I respect only one man. He is the Buddha. The reason is that the Buddha never made a statement regarding the origin of this world. According to our scientific discovery, we can understand that the statements made by others regarding a beginning of the earth is not meaningful. But the Buddha did not commit himself making any statement about a beginning. Therefore, Bertrand Russell said the Buddha is the only one who realized the real nature of the world. If even understanding non-Buddhists and intellectuals can appreciate the Buddha as an enlightened teacher, there is no doubt that the Buddha is really the flower of mankind. But this flower does not appear suddenly, and there is nobody to create it. When we plant a tree, we have to look after it and have to provide fertilizers, water, and good soil. We must clean the area by uprooting weeds. Again, when this tree starts to grow, there will be a lot of hindrances from insects and worms. So, we have to look after it very carefully. Otherwise, it will be difficult for it to grow to maturity and produce flowers and fruits. In the same manner, the Buddha had to look after the tree of Buddhahood that he implanted in the mind many, many lives previously. He had to meet various difficulties, temptations, worldly attachment, responsibilities, problems, enemies, and opponents, but he had the courage to settle and overcome them in order to cultivate his noble way of life. Some people believe that there is an eternal Buddha, just like an eternal God. This belief is contradictory to the teachings of the Buddha. Another belief is that the Buddha, who appears in this world and serves for some time and passes away, or attain Nirvana, comes back again in this world and reappears as the Buddha. They might have adapted this idea from other religions, because this is the way some people interpret the incarnations of life. For example, it is mentioned in Hinduism that the incarnations of the same God appears in this world from time to time by transforming himself into different figures to serve the world. Buddhahood is not confined to one particular person only. Anybody can gain Buddhahood or enlightenment if all the necessary good qualities, purity and wisdom are completed. That is why some Buddhists believe that in every living being there is a hidden Buddha seed or Buddha nature. That means in every person exists the potential to become a Buddha. Anyone who aspires to do so can become a Buddha with great determination, compassion, conviction, understanding, tolerance, patience, and cultivations of virtues. But no one can become a Buddha simply by praying, worshipping and making offerings to a supernatural being. One must be perfected by cultivating the 10 paramita or 10 great qualities such as charity, morality, renunciation, wisdom, effort, patience, truthfulness, determination, goodwill, and equanimity for gaining Buddhahood or enlightenment. Naturally, Buddhahood is not the result of a single lifetime of effort. The reason is that it takes so long that the mental habits and defilements in the mind that we develop are deeply rooted and are not easy to eradicate within one life. To become the flower of mankind, one must work against tremendous odds. To become a Buddha, one must rise above the water with incomparable beauty. Being aware of this difficulty, Edwin Arnold called the Buddha the flower of mankind. That is the highest achievement that any being can reach. Only a human being can become a Buddha. No other living beings in this universe can reach this supreme state. Human beings have more potential and extraordinary mental faculties for gaining enlightenment. Man can develop his wisdom to that maximum level which is necessary to gain enlightenment. Even a god cannot gain the enlightenment. In fact, it is comparatively easy to become a god. One only need to do such good work. To become a Buddha, one must purify the mind. A Buddha is the blossom on the tree of humanity. Only one flower appears after a long time, after a myriad of years. But once this flower is in bloom, the fragrance will spread all over the world. Indeed, it will bring happiness even to the gods. Sandalwood, lotus, jasmine, above all, this kind of fragrance, the fragrance of virtue is by far the best. Of little account is the fragrance of sandal, the fragrance of the virtues which blows even amongst the God is supreme. Dhammapada says. What is the fragrance? It is love and compassion. It is soothing, sweet, consoling and calming and gives hope and confidence to mankind. In the Buddha's compassionate heart can never appear the human weakness of emotion, anger, and selfish desire. A Buddha's mind is perfection in purity, and his compassion extends to every creature in the whole universe. When a Buddha speaks, it brings comfort and solace to those who are suffering in the endless cycle of birth and death. There were many occasions when the followers of other religions approached the enlightened one and asked his views regarding the teachings of others. Never once did he ridicule them and claim that they would go to hell. One day, a well-known personality, a follower of another religion, approached the Buddha and told him that he heard that the Buddha's teaching was very reasonable and that he wanted to follow his teaching. Then the Buddha told him that was not the correct way to change one's religion. Before he gave up his faith, a man must study, investigate, and find out whether there is any truth in the new religion that he is going to accept. The Buddha's liberal and rational attitude is unmatched by any religious leader before or since. When he was asked whether one should support the religious teachers of another religion, he replied, "You can support anybody in this world. It is a meritorious deed." This compassionate and unbiased attitude of the Buddha is what prompted his followers to call him the flower of mankind. The Buddha has also mentioned that he never harbored any ill feeling toward those who accused and abused him, and those who spread allegations against him and who tried to kill him. He showed the same compassion towards all living beings that he had toward his own disciples. The nature of his kindness and sympathetic understanding showed to what extent he had cultivated patience and tolerance. This is the nature of Buddha's kindness. The kindness and patience of a Buddha is like fresh shower of rain that falls after a long period of scorching drought. It shows no preference. It brings relief to all. The Buddha's constant wish was, "May all beings be well and happy." Notice that the Buddha never restricted his compassion to his followers or even only for humans, but all beings, whether they were two-footed, four-footed, feathered, or a scale. A flower gives happiness to all, whether they are good or wicked, tall or short, black or white. The flower of mankind also gives peace and comfort, taking nothing in return. Many claim to have knowledge, but their knowledge is seldom coupled with wisdom. People can learn everything in this world and gather wonderful scientific knowledge to explain many things which were unknown to us earlier. No doubt, their knowledge about the universe is very deep, but real wisdom to understand the nature of human existence and human problems is not there. Therefore, we cannot regard mere knowledge as wisdom. The Buddha's wisdom was such that he used it to help human beings taste the supreme knowledge of the Dharma, of the doctrine. One Western scholar says, "The more we learn about all these existing things in this world, the more we create our own concepts and imaginations by using our limited way of thinking through our limited senses. He says that instead of gaining wisdom, we have increased our ignorance. People who claim that they know many things develop egoism and skeptical views, which create more confusion and which disturb the peace and confidence in their minds. Sometimes their attitude towards others creates more misunderstanding and conflict rather than harmony and goodwill. The Buddha's understanding regarding all universal phenomena is not mere knowledge but wisdom. When we study how he realized and explained the Four Noble Truths, we can understand the nature of the Buddha's wisdom. Before the Buddha, man did not realize why we were here in this world, what we have to do as human beings, whether there is any aim in our life, and why we cannot gain satisfaction, although we have wonderful worldly knowledge. Without the wisdom of the Buddha, we will go on developing more and more craving and selfish desire, thinking that we are progressing. Yet, we will experience more fear, worry, uncertainty, and insecurity. This will then create frustration and disappointment, which will later turn into conflicts, clashes, jealousy, and enmity. When people have only knowledge without wisdom, they cannot live happily with themselves or with others. The more we remain in this world, the more we have to face these problems. But the Buddha realized that the real cause and the real nature of existence, that life is a big battle, physically and mentally, internally and externally. Only an enlightened religious teacher who has realized the roots of all problems can guide mankind to avoid the existing human conflicts. And the Buddha alone can do this because he is the flower of mankind who conquers the ignorance which has made us slaves to sorrow and despair. The Buddha understood the three characteristics of every existing component in it. He understood the impermanency of every existing thing in this universe, and he realized why they are not permanent. People have a belief that certain things in this world are everlasting, but modern scientists are beginning to support the explanation given by the Buddha 25 centuries ago, that existence takes place due to conflicts or the frictions of elements and energies. As a result, things are changeable, and without change, there can be no existence. Therefore, the appearance of what one sees is a reflection of this friction. The unsatisfactoriness of every component thing is another characteristic that the Buddha realized. People cannot understand why they have to experience unsatisfactoriness in everything they accept as attractive, passionate, lovely, and beautiful at the beginning. When these things change, we become dissatisfied. So, since we cannot run away from change, we cannot escape from unsatisfactoriness. During our lifetime, we pray very anxiously to gain something. But after gaining that we want, we feel unsatisfactory and disappointed. It is difficult to gain anything which does not create disappointment in the end. Every day we face this unsatisfactoriness. Mental and physical changes are the cause of this situation. When the emotional satisfaction starts to fade away, then frustration disturbs the mind. But this phenomenon is natural. The Buddha realized this universal law and explained that our own selfish desire is the cause